Jesus, we thank you that's the truth. That in the midst of everything else, when we put our faith and our trust in you, we can say, it is well with my soul. That there is a hope that is greater than the circumstances we face. And Lord, we cling to you. The one who holds eternity in his hands. And Lord, we pray now as we come to your word, that it would remind us of your truths and lead us into deeper relationship with who you are and your great love for us. Amen. So in this series about practicing the way of Jesus, it's kind of how do we do discipleship? Or as a better word that I've been using recently, apprenticeship. It's a word that kind of it's more familiar with us maybe. The word disciple has all these connotations of kind of certain things. We've all got our view on that. And probably the word discipleship often is the fact that we use the word and we'll go, that's nice, but we don't really know what it actually means. And if we don't know what it means, the danger then is the fact that we can ignore it. But actually, to be someone on the way of Jesus, on the journey that he would have for us, to be following him, that's what we are required to do as people who call ourselves Christians, people who are like Christ, to live how he lived and to do what he did. So this journey of practicing the way of Jesus, what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to be an apprentice of Jesus, be a follower of him? And we've been using kind of a couple of diagrams to help us think about what this means for us. And so the first diagram was about saying how in your life you are being spiritually formed by the things that you experience, whether you realize it or not. It's not a question of kind of going, I'm either doing Christian-y things or I'm not. And if I don't do Christian-y things, I'm just fine. I'm at zero, I'm at baseline. And if I do Christian-y things, I'm a bit better on the journey. It's saying, in your life, you've got to work out what is influencing your experience of your walk in spiritual things. That spiritual formation is happening all around you. And the things that shape you are the stories that you believe, the relationships that you have, the habits that you have, and the environment in which you exist. And so we've talked about how the stories that you believe, so particularly right now, these last few years as well, the thing about fake news has been a big, huge thing in the media about how can we actually trust that the stories that we're reading are true or not. And depending on what you choose to believe, depends on what that might shape what you then choose to do and how you might choose to approach situations. So being mindful of the stories that you are listening to, the stories that you have chosen to believe, will affect the way that you walk your life. The habits that you have, the things that you get into, the grooves that you get into, will shape how you spend your time, they'll shape how you feel, they'll shape the things that you are and the things that you become. The relationships that you have can influence you positively or negatively. And where you exist, the community, the environment in which you exist, will shape who you are, the things that you believe, the stories again that you are aware of. But the people you encounter, you tend to spend time with people who are like you. Because they're like you, so you like them. So what is it to be in this? So this is kind of the unintentional spiritual formation model. So then what does Jesus do? Jesus unpacks this, and we've got a model that comes from Jesus, which is the intentional spiritual formation. That's saying, if you do nothing, you'll be being spiritually formed unintentionally. So if you want to be intentionally being formed by Jesus and practicing his way, you've got to actively do things that are the way of Jesus in order to live that experience out. And so what it looks like in intentional spiritual formation is that the stories that you believe are shaped by the teaching of Jesus. That's what shapes your stories. You go, I'm going to choose that story over what the world tells me. It's about community rather than just relationships, because it's about being in a community of people where you're different, whereas relationships, you tend to choose who you'd like to be in relationships with. Whereas community says, we're in this together, and there'll be people in this community of the church, for example, that you get on with really well, people who you don't get on with particularly well. But we're still called to be in the community together, and in community, it encourages us in the things that we are doing well, but it also points out our blind spots of actually where we're maybe not so good at stuff. Because actually, when you're doing life with people for a long period of time, you suddenly start to see the cracks, that you can't keep the facade of being, this is me on Sunday morning, and then this is me the rest of the time. The longer you do community together, the more you start seeing the real people that we are. And that's really important, because it's really healthy for us to recognize where we need to be encouraged and where are our blind spots, where do we actually need to be a bit more mindful of that. And then the other thing is, rather than just having habits that you've just formed by the things that you do, it's intentional practices. It's things that you're going to choose to do, habits that you're going to choose to have in order to help shape your relationship with who God is and do things which will benefit you in the long run. And ultimately, the environment in which all exists is the Holy Spirit. That's the most important thing. We'll be looking at that this morning. But I want to read to you to start with from John 1. And it says this. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. When they met Jesus, when they encountered Jesus, they wanted to follow him, but they wanted to spend time with him. They wanted to stay with him. They wanted to be where he was. They wanted to experience all of who he was. They wanted to be in his presence. And the reason why, if I could go back to that image, that the Holy Spirit is central to your spiritual formation as the environment in which you dwell, because the Holy Spirit affects everything else in that diagram. When we go to John 14, where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, it says in 15 to 18, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither knows him, it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, and I will come to you." And then he goes on to say in verse 25, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." What Jesus is saying here is the fact that he's going to send someone else, that we haven't got Jesus to spend time with. We can't kind of come into it and meet Jesus face to face like the disciples did. But he says, "I'm going to send another person." And there's two words for another in Greek. There's another as in something that's different. And there's another word for another in Greek, which means another, which is exactly the same. And here in this passage, which in the text of the Gospels, it is, "I'm going to send another exactly the same as me. I'm going to send you another Jesus, another counselor, another one of me who will lead you and teach you." And the role of the Holy Spirit is to be our counselor. The word paraclete means counselor or comforter. And he says he's going to teach you everything that I teach. He's going to remind you of all the things that I've taught you. So the reason why the Holy Spirit is crucial to our spiritual formation is because the Bible says we've got to spend time with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is Jesus for us in our lives right here, right now. The Spirit of God is God's presence that we can encounter and have a relationship with. And it goes on in John 15. The first and primary goal of an apprentice to Jesus is to learn to live in a constant state of awareness of the connection to the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus is saying here, "I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you this Holy Spirit, and he's the one who will remind you of everything that I have done." So if we want to live the way of Jesus, we want to understand what he would have for our lives, what he wants us to do, we've got to experience the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will remind us and teach us and lead us and counsel us into the path of Jesus. And the language that Jesus uses in this is in John 15, which is the next chapter on. And Jesus says, remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So he's talked about how there's going to be this Holy Spirit who's going to come, who's going to live in you, who's just like Jesus, who's going to remind you of all the things that Jesus did and taught and said. And then he goes on in the next chapter to say, if you remain in me and I in you, if you keep in that constant relationship with God, which is possible through the Holy Spirit who lives in you if you're a believer, he says, it's out of that that the fruit of Jesus comes, that the things that Jesus did will flow from the experience of knowing the Holy Spirit in you. So Jesus uses here the example of a vine and says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you're connected to me, if you're connected to the source, then you'll be able to fruit. The fruit comes from knowing me, and out of the experience of knowing me, that will shape and change how you live and act and all the things that you do. So what he's saying is, if you want to be a follower of me, you've got to experience the Holy Spirit. You've got to encounter the Holy Spirit, the part of me that lives in you, because that's the thing that will allow you to experience who God is and will then drive you in the practices that will lead you on this journey of following the way of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is this central understanding and theme to the discipleship life of being a follower of Jesus. And sadly, I think, in the Western church, what we've done is we've made the word discipleship mean knowing more stuff. If I just know more of my Bible, I would be a better Christian. If I just know more stuff, if I just know more this, if I just know more that, and we've made discipleship, learning to follow Jesus, all about knowledge. And it's important that we do know stuff, but as we said a few weeks ago, you can know stuff, but it doesn't necessarily change how you behave. I know that if I eat too many cakes, I will get fatter. I still eat cakes. Because knowing stuff doesn't translate into actually doing stuff. And that's why when we just have knowledge, it doesn't actually necessarily change and shape us. So we can know what the right thing to do is, we just don't do it. But if you've ever experienced a relationship, or you've been with a group of people, when they say, well, let's do this, if you're feeling a bit, ugh, because other people are doing it, because you're in a community, there's more of a drive to do it. Or what I'm experiencing at the moment in being in a relationship and getting towards going towards marriage is the fact that there are things that, left to me, I know what to do, but I won't do it. But because I know that if I don't do it, Hannah won't be very happy, I choose to do it. And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you is the part of God who's close to you, who actually reminds you that actually you know what to do, so why don't you do it? Why don't you get on and do it? So Jesus is saying, you need to learn how to come and spend time with me. And we spend time with Jesus by experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, experiencing the presence of God. And maybe you've had times in your life where God's felt so close. Where it's almost like you can touch him. It's almost like you can sense him. That's what God wants for you all the time. God doesn't want you to be apart from him. He wants you to know him. He's saying, remain in me. It's not just I'll connect with him on a Sunday. Or I'll only connect with him if I go to a festival or a big meeting somewhere else. God's saying, I want to meet with you all the time. I want you to experience me. I want you to remain in me and I in you. This is a constant, ongoing thing. And this comes down to learning always to be in two places at once. That you live in the environment of this world, but you're also existing in the environment of God's Spirit. That you are always caught between two places. Being present in the here and now in this world, but experiencing what heaven is like through experiencing the Holy Spirit, being in that relationship with God, that you are somewhere else. There's a different community that you're part of. There's a different environment that you're part of. And the difficult walk of being a follower of Jesus is recognizing that you're living in two places at the same time. You've got two worlds that are trying to influence your life and the way you work. And the words in the Bible that keep coming up time and time again about this idea of what it means to be a Christian and be a follower of Jesus, to be an apprentice of Jesus, is about words like abiding. Spend time with me. Do it regularly. Or Paul used the words, pray without ceasing. There's kind of this constant desire to be in that relationship, to be in that connection. Or contemplation. Thinking regularly on who God is and who Jesus is. And, or a word, practicing the presence of God. It's a kind of a phrase that's come about through Christian tradition, the idea of needing to practice being in God's presence. It's not something that just happens magically. You can practice to be in the presence of God, to be in the location, to be in that place, the environment that God wants for you. In the 17th century, there was a monk called Brother Lawrence. And he wrote probably one of the most important little books you can ever read. If you get a chance to read it, you can pick it up for not very cheap from a Bible bookshop or online. It's free to download because it's out of copyright, so you can just download it free online if you want to as well. But Brother Lawrence was a monk in a monastery, and what his job was he worked in the kitchens and he washed pots. That was his life. That's what he did. But people flocked to come to him and seek his advice. And this little book is basically letters written by Brother Lawrence about his experience of God. And what he learned was to say, I need to constantly be reminded that God is there. I need to constantly live my life knowing that the presence of God is something that I need to be living in, to be remaining in, to be abiding in, to be living in fully. And he said this in his little book. For me, the times of action does not differ from the time of prayer. In the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are together calling for as many different things, I possess God in great tranquility, as when upon my knees in the Blessed Sacrament. What he's saying is, it doesn't bother me whether I'm washing pots, or whether for him he's saying the Blessed Sacrament, I'm at the communion table, or he says elsewhere in this little book, when I'm in prayer, in the time of prayer. See, the time of prayer and the time of just ordinary life aren't different things. That God's presence is with me all the time, and I want to learn to recognize and be reminded that God lives in me and his presence is with me constantly. It's not just when I turn up for prayer. It's not just when I turn up for church. It's not just when I have my quiet time. It's saying constantly the Spirit of God is with you, the environment of God is with you, and being mindful of that will shape and change how you behave, how you act, what you do. And so this little book is trying to help you think about, how do I just be mindful of God constantly? How do I constantly think about who he is? He didn't rise to be a great monk or a great this, that, and the other. He was a pot washer for the whole of his life. He just worked in the kitchen washing pots, but he's absolutely shaped and changed so many people's understanding of what it means to know God. Because he's learned simply that when he's washing pots, it doesn't differ from when he's in prayer. That he wants to be constantly in mindfulness of who God is in his life. Dallas Willard, who's a spiritual writer, said this: the first and most basic thing we can and must do is to keep God before our minds. This is the fundamental secret for caring for our souls. Our part is thus, practicing the presence of God, is to direct and redirect our minds constantly to him. In the early times of our practicing, we may well be challenged by our burdensome habits of dwelling upon things less than God. But these are habits, not the law of gravity, and can be broken. A new grace-filled habit will replace the former ones as we take intentional steps towards keeping God before us. Soon our minds will return to God as the needle of a compass constantly returns to the north. If God is the greatest longing of our souls, he will become the pole star of our inward being. What it's saying is, it's so easy, isn't it, for things to distract us back into the here and now, and into our current circumstance situation. But we have the ability to choose to create practices in our life where we choose to say, this is happening, and I choose to look to Jesus. This is happening, and I choose to look to Jesus. And what we're doing in that is it gives us a heaven perspective upon our situation and our circumstance. But it's saying there, and this is what Brother Lawrence writes in his little book, he's saying, I keep having to practice this. It's not something that comes naturally to you. You've got to practice being mindful of God with you every day. And so the thing we've been doing over Lent, if you've been following it, has a little challenge for each day of saying, how can you then take this thought into your day? How can you then be mindful of God into the rest of your day? Because when you're mindful that God's with you, when you face things, it then changes how you see it. But as soon as I forget that God's with me, as soon as I forget that God's involved in my life, I face it, and I face it going, I've now got to sort this out, rather than going, okay, God, how are we going to face this together? Because Jesus is saying, remain in me, and then I can be your counselor. I can be the one who gives you comfort. I can be the one who gives you guidance. I can be the one who gives you wisdom in your situation. And so often we face a situation, we forgot that God's with us. We're going, how am I going to deal with this? And then it takes a little while before we then come back to going, oh yeah, I could pray. I could ask God about this. It's a practice of the presence of God. It's saying, I'm going to actively discipline my life. I'm going to choose habits in my life that remind me that God is present with me in all that I do. So it doesn't matter whether I'm in church, it doesn't matter whether I'm at work, it doesn't matter if I'm just washing up at home, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, I'm mindful that God is with me. But it's something that we have to practice. Jesus actively practices times away from the crowd. Jesus actively practices times in community. Jesus has practices of life which help him remain in the Father, remain in who he is, be mindful of the presence of God. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about the same teaching of Jesus. So Jesus talks about fruits on vines, and in Galatians 5, Paul, who's a later teacher after Jesus, who teaches on the things of Jesus, takes Jesus' teaching and says, look at it this way. And he says, in this particular passage about what we call the fruits of the Spirit, he says, first he begins by saying, walk by the Spirit, and at the end of it he says, keep in step with the Spirit. What he's saying is, you've got to be mindful of the Holy Spirit in your life, in all that you do. That you don't, the fruits of the Spirit aren't something you just try and be nicer. Try and be kinder. Try and be more loving. Try and be more self-controlled. Try and be all these things. It's not about trying to do more of those things. It's saying, walk in step with the Spirit and you will be more loving. You will be more kind. So we spend our whole lives trying to change ourselves. But I must be more kind. I must be more generous. I must be more giving. I must be more this, that, and the other. And it's saying, no, no, what you must do is spend more time in the presence of God. Because if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Fruit is not our responsibility, it's God's responsibility. It comes out of our experience of him. Because when you're spending time with God, when you're mindful that God's with you in situations, it changes how you see everything. It changes what you do, it changes your habits, it changes how you act and what you do. So Paul says, keep in step with the Spirit. Live this life being mindful of the Holy Spirit. But how do we actually do this? I heard a great story about talking about this particular idea, and it was this. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit turns up like a dove. The dove is often an expression of what the Holy Spirit is. If you had a dove sat on your shoulder, and your intention was to not let it fly away, how would that change how you walked? If you had a dove sitting on your shoulder, and you had to try and keep it there, the idea was to try and remain connected to the dove on your shoulder, how would you walk? Slowly. Anyone else? Carefully. A spoon in your pocket. Brilliant. Mindfully. Might say things. Talk to it. What would you do? You take every step mindful of the bird. Every step you took, you'd make it being mindful of what that, how that might affect the dove on your shoulder. So in your life, as you walk, the idea of being in the presence of God, practicing the presence of God, is practicing the idea of going, how do I not let the Holy Spirit fly away? How do I keep the presence of God close to me? How do I keep the Spirit of God being, how do you keep mindful of that? It's being mindful that it's there. And so that changes how you walk. You walk intentionally, mindful of the dove on your shoulder. And I find that probably the most helpful illustration of what this is about. That you're going through your day-to-day living in your day-to-day life, and you've got a helper, a counselor, someone who will lead you into all truth and all knowledge, someone who empowers you in the gifts of the Spirit, which we can talk about another time. How would you walk? You'd be mindful of it, and every step you took, you'd take bearing the dove in mind. In our lives, as we walk, it's practicing to be mindful that the Holy Spirit is with us in everything that we do. So how do we do this? Well, this comes back down to what the Bible calls practicing the way of Jesus, or what Christian writers call spiritual disciplines. Things that you can do which help bring you back into bring you back to who God is. And so there are examples of these, which are things like silence and solitude. Some of you who are extroverts like me go, silence and solitude. Ah. And some of you who are introverts are going, yes, silence and solitude. It's about prayer. Things like fasting, reading the scripture. It's about having a Sabbath, having time off, having resting time. It's about coming to church, it's about worshipping together. It's about these things are practices that you can do that keep you mindful of who God is in your life. They're all a means to an end, to be with Jesus and to become like Jesus. Jesus is intentional about everything that he does. Jesus is intentional about his time with the Father. He's intentional about the people he serves. He's intentional about the way he teaches. He's intentional about the way he walks and does his life. And often as believers, we kind of drag ourselves along, getting buffed by everything that comes along in life, rather than saying, actually, I'm going to intentionally follow the way of Jesus. And yes, things will still happen in life, but you've got a direction, you've got a pole star that you come back to, which shows you which way to go. So the Holy Spirit is critical to our spiritual formation. Being mindful that the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you. There is a counselor, as a comforter, to lead and teach you into all knowledge, to remind you of all the things that Jesus did and all the things that he taught. So don't neglect the Holy Spirit in our lives, because it is the Holy Spirit who leads us in this way of Jesus. If you remember nothing else from today's talk, remember this. If the Holy Spirit was a dove on your shoulder, how would you walk? How would you act? How would that change how you did things? You would walk every step with the dove in mind. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Jesus, thank you for his example, and thank you that you've given the Holy Spirit another one who is just like Jesus, to be our counselor, our comforter, our guide, to lead us and teach us into all truth and all knowledge. Help us, I pray, be mindful of our need to experience the presence of God. And just like Brother Lawrence taught, to practice the presence of God, to practice being mindful of you in every part of our lives. That when we're at home, remembering that you are there. When we're at work, being reminded that you are with us in that. When we're with our families, being reminded that you are present. Help us be drawn back to practicing being mindful that you are there. And when our minds get full of all the other things of life, help us quiet our souls and come back to you, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen.